is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan, the Wall Street Journal editorial. Though it gets little Western coverage these days, Afghanistan continues to regress. The ruling Taliban ordered all women to fully cover themselves in public. This is a tragedy for the women and men of Afghanistan, and it's a reminder of the nightmare for the Americans still trapped there. I welcome Bill Raggio, a senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Bill also produces a podcast that I highly recommend, Generation Jihad. And he summarizes in the most recent edition where Afghanistan is these many months, 10 or 11 months after the, 10 months after the U.S. withdrew unilaterally. And it isn't just about the Americans there or those with green cards there trapped behind the Taliban lines. It's a much larger story of the whole region. This is the Hindu Kush. This is Central Asia at risk. You cannot separate Afghanistan from the civilization that dominated Central Asia 3,000 years ago and is still convinced that it can rise to prosperity. With Afghanistan a threat, I'm talking about Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, all those ambitious nations are vulnerable to the disorder in Afghanistan, as is Pakistan. So, Bill, a very good day to you. I go immediately to your Generation Jihad and your report of what's wrong in Afghanistan. I've mentioned the Americans and the green cards trapped behind the lines. We also point to the reporting for weeks now of famine, striking children especially, which will darken a generation because malnutrition at a very young age damages the ability to function in life, to think, to be in any fashion normal. However, the immediate problem is kinetic. The ISIS, what scale in Afghanistan, the Khorasan province, what scale and what can the Taliban do about it these many months since the U.S. left? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, the Islamic State Khorasan province. Again, this is a group that was formed from disaffected Pakistani and Afghan Taliban leaders. It's estimated to have a couple of thousand fighters. Currently doesn't control any territory, and it's unlikely to do so. The Taliban does have a decent lock on the security situation from a control standpoint. So the group is operating as a terrorist slash guerrilla movement. It's able to launch some high-profile attacks. Most of these attacks occur against the Hazara minority. It's a Shia branch of Islam. Frankly, the Taliban doesn't care very much about the Hazara. They disarmed the Hazara. They don't allow them to secure their mosques and schools. So these are easy picking for the Islamic State. The Islamic State is able to, you know, so they are, these attacks, they do show the Taliban. It shows a certain degree of weakness. But I'd argue that the Taliban is far more in control of Afghanistan than the Afghan government ever, the previous Afghan government ever was in the 20 years. The Taliban has a very strong lock on the security situation, but it's not able to completely suppress the Islamic State. It's launched operations against them, and it's had a good effect. But the Islamic State, just like any jihadist group, just like the Taliban was, just like Al-Qaeda is in numerous places, they have staying power. These are groups are committed to waging their jihad. They think in timelines of decades, and whereas we think of, you know, when we're doing things, we think in election cycles. They're committed jihadists. So the Islamic State, as long as they have a cadre and access to weapons and explosives, which is very simple to get inside of a war-torn country like Afghanistan, they'll be able to. I consider these attacks more to be harassment attacks than a real threat to the Afghan government at this time.
Recruiting. Who is likely to be in ISIS? Where do they come from?
Yeah, the Islamic State, it's not a team player in the jihad. It doesn't have a lot of allies. But the people it's able to recruit are the hardcore, bloodthirsty jihadists or wannabe jihadists. These are ones who typically don't like other minorities, particularly within Islam. So if you're a group, there's a group in Lashkar-e-Jhangvi in Pakistan, for instance. It's a sectarian jihadist group. It likes to target Shia and other minorities. That's a good base of recruiting for the Islamic State. Or just your average jihadist or wannabe jihadist who is on social media and doesn't like the footsie that the Taliban will play with groups with states like Pakistan or Iran. These are the real hardcore, those who aren't willing to do a little bit of compromise to achieve their goals. So, and they're the impatient jihadists, the one who want jihad now, who want to declare the caliphate now. Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and other groups want to declare the caliphate, but their view is we have to wait until we secure it, whereas the Islamic State declare it now and fight for it now. So there's a difference. They have the same goals, but a different in the strategy and tactics and how to achieve that goal.
The Taliban in Pakistan has been conducting routinely cross-border attacks. Pakistan has responded with air and ground forces. There have been protests between Kabul and Islamabad. Is the Taliban in charge of all of Afghanistan? What is their posture towards what appears to be kindred soul in Pakistan?
Yeah, so the Pakistani Taliban has sheltered inside of Afghanistan since its formation in 2007, late 2006. It swears allegiance to the emir of the Afghan Taliban. It's received support and all of it's basically the Pakistani branch of the Afghan Taliban. There are some distinctions. So the Afghan Taliban either, look the other way from what the Pakistani Taliban wants. The Pakistani Taliban wants what the Afghan Taliban has, which is to declare the Islamic State or the Islamic Emirate of Pakistan. And the Afghan Taliban is just fine with that. This is always the tug or the conflict between the Pakistani Taliban the Afghan Taliban and its state sponsor of Pakistan. But the Pakistani state is willing to look the other way on that if it gets what it wants, which is the Taliban control of Afghanistan. So the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan since the Afghan Taliban took control of Afghanistan has more than doubled its attacks. It has now a ceasefire with the Pakistani state. The Pakistani state is freeing some top leaders. This is a real mess. We can get back to the situation, John, of about 10, 15 years ago when the Pakistani Taliban controlled significant portions of northern Pakistan and was threatening to march on the actual capital of Pakistan. It's a threat to the Pakistani government, but the Pakistani government and when the real players, the deep state within Pakistan, the military and intelligence services, are willing to play this game to ride the tiger of the Taliban.
Intelligence agencies have been explaining some of their mistakes with Afghanistan and some of their mistakes in the early stages of the Ukraine war. This happened in the Senate most recently. Testifying was the head of the DIA, the head of the DNI. And the senators were impatient. Senator Angus King of Maine, an independent, was very impatient at the Senate Armed Services Committee. The common distinction made by the explainers of missing the Afghanistan collapse, missing the Ukrainian crisis, was that the will to fight was not factored in. The will to continue was not factored in. Bill, you've been reporting on the will of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS since 2014, all these years. Was the will to fight obvious, clear, or was it something that was impossible to know beforehand?
It was very clear. This is something that the intelligence community should have picked up all along. The Taliban clearly had the will to fight. Al-Qaeda and other Pakistani and regional terror groups were committed to the fight in Afghanistan. And the intelligence community not only misjudged the will of the Afghan military and political leadership, but it misjudged the will of the U.S. government as well. And John, I maintain that a lot of this was for political reasons. Once the decision was made to leave Afghanistan by the Obama administration, which was then picked up by the Trump administration, which did the deal with the Taliban and then continued with the Biden administration. Once that decision was made to withdraw, everything was crafted. All the facts, the narrative that we could leave Afghanistan and the Taliban won't take the country over and will participate in a conclusive government with the Afghan, with the existing Afghan government, all of that narrative was pushed. And you know, you had individuals within the intelligence services. I knew them. I talked to them at the time, who were quite aware of this. But the leadership of the intelligence agencies of the U.S. military, General Milley, Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Miller, who was sent to the commander in Afghanistan, you know, they lied to the American public and said that this was something that can happen. This is something that was possible to leave Afghanistan and not have it fall under Taliban control and not be a safe haven for terrorists. They were wrong. They should have known. You even had an analyst who was an advisor to General Milley and General Miller, who wrote an article in last summer and said, you know, we misjudged a critical part about the Taliban. We didn't understand that they had religious motivations. This guy was a senior advisor getting paid a lot of money by the U.S. government for General Milley and General Miller. Again, both the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff and the commander in Afghanistan, respectively, and said that no one understood the Taliban's religious motivations. It's no wonder we lost that war.
Long War Journal, week after week, 2020, 2021, before the withdrawal in August, week after week, you kept a map. We talked about it every week with our colleague, Tom Jocelyn. The map showed a closing of the free parts of Afghanistan around Kabul. You could see it collapsing in. Provincial capital, provincial strong point, photographs that you would put up on Long War Journal, video you'd put up Long War Journal, the Taliban celebrating another compound falling to their attack, not falling after a long firefight, falling because the Afghan National Army bugged out. Bill, reading your site, not secret, transparent, in open, week by week, you weren't telling them what to conclude. You were giving evidence. Did you have a dialogue with the Pentagon from the winter of 2020 until the summer of 2021? Were they curious about what you were showing on your site?
And John, just to be clear, I started that map in 2014 because I recognized the flaw that in the our counterinsurgency strategy. We were ceding the rural areas, which the Taliban told us in English that they would do, they would accept, and they would use it to surround the cities. And that's exactly what happened. And that map goes back, you know, 7 years prior to the fall. I did it. I talked to people in the military and intelligence services. By 2020, I was persona non grata within the U.S. military and intelligence community. I was saying things that was very uncomfortable for them, that they didn't want to hear. I'll give you a quick anecdote. I know a reporter who mentioned my name to General Miller, and General Miller got angry and told that reporter not to discuss my work. And when the reporter said, Bill's map has been accurate, General Miller left the room. That's how much that's how they didn't want to see. They didn't want to hear facts. They didn't want to face reality, John. This is I was ignored by the military and intelligence services because except for people inside the community who cared, who understood that was happening. But these were not the decision makers. These were people who did not have the ear of the president or the chairman and joint chiefs of staff. That's, you know, you want to talk about an intelligence failure. It was a failure to understand, or it's a, you know, it was both a failure to understand what was happening and it was a failure to accept what was happening. And it was a failure to recognize their desired policy outcomes didn't match up to the situation on the ground.
Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. We're going to turn to Al-Qaeda in Africa next. I'm John Batchelor.